Ladies and gentlemen, at this stage then we're going to put the man who's on the spot, who seems to be on the spot all the time, who's in at the literally at the cutting edge, as the saying is. We're delighted to have the Health Minister with us today, Mr. Edwin Pouch. Edwin, you're very welcome. Come on.
Thank you very much, Conference, and it's good to join you this morning. It's good to see such a good turnout even already this morning. And it is conference season again, and as usual, everything hasn't run entirely smoothly. Last year, for example, poor old Alistair MacDonald, he struggled with his lines because he was blinded by the light. This year, his deputy, Dolores, she struggled with her lines because she was blinded by spite. Meanwhile, the fewer who turn up to the TUV conference, the angrier Jim Sounds, the grumpy old man of Ulster politics, he makes Victor Meldrew look happy with his lot. And then over to Sinn Féin world. Who said Republicans didn't have any influence in Dublin? Michelle Gildernew has dramatically changed a decades-old Leinster House position single-handedly. They used to claim Northern Ireland as their own. Now Michelle's claiming off them. But in any event, Conference, we have more serious matters to deal with. And last week marked 18 months of the DUP holding the Health Ministry. And this morning's presentations have given us a brief glimpse of the change that has taken place across the service. I'd like to offer my thanks to all of those who participated in the first session for such an enlightening session. And hearing those contributions, it certainly didn't resemble the picture that Dr. Doom was painting in the run-up to the last Assembly election. Chapter 11 bankruptcy, no money to pay bills, 4,000 health workers to be laid off, charges for attending GPs, emergency departments, and staying overnight in hospital. None of that's happened. It'll be the end of this Assembly term before we can truly assess the impact that the DUP has managed to have on health. But I hope that already people have a sense that at least a degree of movement has taken place in the right direction. This doesn't mean we won't still have difficulties with key challenges such as the emergency department pressures and waiting lists for procedures, but we can't afford to be knocked off course by the overzealous headline writer. The key point is whether the underlying trend is in the right direction, and I fundamentally believe that it is and believe we can demonstrate that that's the case. More resources are being directed towards public health, prevention and early intervention. In fact, in the current year, we're spending around £109 million on health promotion and disease prevention, approaching three times what the figure was just 6 years ago. A new acute hospital in the southwest, envied by the rest of Europe, was opened by Her Majesty over the summer as part of her Jubilee visit to the province. And also this year, I signed a £9 million electronic care record, which will transform how patient records are managed, facilitating far greater ease of access between the GPs and the consultants in the hospitals. We've published and implemented dozens of strategies. I don't have time to refer to them all, but here's a flavour. The new service framework for learning disability and a draft one for older people is currently being consulted on. We'll have refreshed the suicide prevention strategy, consulted on a new public health framework, and commenced a process of reforming adult social care. I published a new maternity strategy, Northern Ireland's first strategy for social work, and a new policy framework on living with long-term conditions. Those are all absolutely essential to give good guidance to our health trusts and to our staff. Health-acquired infections are down by 20% compared with 2006, and we have made progress on waiting times compared with 12 months previously. There is still a lot more to do, but an extra £10 million recently announced by Sammy Wilson will provide help fresh impetus, particularly in some surgical specialities that have persistently proved a problem. The work of my department and the health service makes news on a daily basis, but behind the headlines there are tens of thousands of staff across Northern Ireland whose first priority is helping those who need assistance from the health service. I can tell you that last night many people who weren't on duty turned up at Alton na Gailfin Hospital to help ensure that people could be transferred to other wards and all of our patients were kept safe, even in a crisis situation. And when the call of duty went out, our people responded. I want to pay tribute in particular today to the staff of the Alton na Gailfin Hospital for the work that they have done. In general, our staff work beyond the call of duty to provide care and life-saving interventions. And I've had the pleasure of meeting hundreds of ordinary people who depend on our service, as well as those who assiduously work to help others. And the vast majority of service users describe a very positive experience and are really grateful for the care that's provided to them, irrespective of the media slants that are put out. Last March, we experienced significant pressures in some emergency departments. We identified a number of potential contributing factors and introduced an improvement action group specifically dedicated to addressing those problems. In preparation for this winter, I'm asking each organisation to provide me with a comprehensive escalation policy detailing how they will respond to the spikes in emergency department activity. The most difficult period by far for me was the deaths of the four small babies in the neonatal units at Alton McGilvin and the Royal Jubilee Maternity Hospitals. No one can comprehend the pain that those families endured unless they've actually been there themselves, and some of us have. Nearly all 32 of the recommendations of Professor Troup's report have already been implemented, with just a couple still to be completed. And again, I'm grateful to Sammy Wilson for providing me £4 million additional in-year support to ensure that we could do that in a very efficient way. The emergence of Murray Stopes facility in Belfast has caused alarm for many. I previously indicated that I wanted to introduce a new system of collecting information about abortions legally permitted in Northern Ireland, with a specific reason for the abortion to be clearly stated. I'm uncomfortable about abortions taking place outside the HSC, with potential financial initiatives becoming entangled in a matter of such moral significance. And I've asked officials to prepare options that I can pursue in this regard. Work has also continued on guidance for professionals on abortion as required by the Court of Appeal, with earlier versions having been defeated in judicial reviews for the department. I don't make any apology for taking my time over this matter. Make no mistake though, whatever guidance is established, it will not alter the legal position in Northern Ireland. And those who would wish to see a social abortion in Northern Ireland, as in GB, where 193 abortions were carried out last year, will remain sorely disappointed. Throughout the year, I've been working closely with ministerial colleagues across a range of issues. Through the Delivering Social Change initiative in OFM DFM, my department will establish 10 family support hubs over the next 2 years, with coalitions of community voluntary organisations and agencies providing early intervention services for children and young people in local areas. We will also provide additional high quality support to new and existing parents living in areas of deprivation through positive parenting programmes, and this will involve engaging potentially 50 additional health workers on a 2-year basis, providing guidance, training and information for up to 1,200 vulnerable families. I've already referred to how health has benefited from substantial monitoring round injections from SAMI throughout the year. Nelson and I have collaborated on matters such as supported housing and the consequences of alcohol misuse. Work continues with Arlene's department on technology and life sciences and how the health sector can assist in improving our economic fortunes. And I've continued to promote Northern Ireland as an international leader in connected health and innovation, and we're working to have Northern Ireland granted EU reference site status through the European Innovation Partnership on Active and Healthy Ageing. As Eddie has described, we're rolling out telemonitoring to 20,000 recipients, recognising that benefits that patients benefit from having deteriorations detected at an early stage and the freedom to remain in their own homes. Change is taking place right across the breadth of my department's responsibilities. When officials are saying they are stretched and having to work harder, we know that we're on the right track. Change is not coming about for the sake of change, though, but because with a growing older population and more chronic illnesses absorbing a greater proportion of the budget, early intervention can keep people healthier, as well as proving far more cost-effective. The latest stage of transforming your care process, Vision to Action, is being consulted on in the middle of January. And further important developments will then take place at local level. An explanatory leaflet is being distributed to every household in Northern Ireland. And I intend to launch a draft cross-departmental autism strategy and action plan within the next 10 days. Also, reflecting on the importance of society's role and responsibility for health, my department is developing proposals for a community resuscitation strategy for Northern Ireland. I hope to say something more about this over the course of the next 2 weeks, but much good but isolated work is taking place on this front across the province, and a coordinated approach would offer everyone the opportunity to be a lifesaver. When I first came into this post, I was struck by how many of the most important matters in health fall under the remit of 17 arm's length bodies. Officials have been working on strengthening the process by which these bodies provide assurance to the department, indeed to myself. In addition to the substantial work undertaken, I have asked officials to introduce a new, more open and public-faced element into the annual accountability process, and I can announce today that I will commence a series of ministerial accountability meetings, which I personally will lead and will be conducted in public. I will select a number of the 17 arm's length bodies to undergo this extra component each year. The format will vary for different bodies, but with trusts, for example, I might visit one of their facilities and hold discussions with staff and the service users. Then in public session, I will engage with the chair, chief executive, and non-executive directors to seek assurance around areas such as corporate governance, quality and performance. This will represent a significant extension to existing practice. Since coming into office, I have instituted quarterly meetings with the chairs and chief executives of all six trusts, the board and the PHA collectively. I am also now going to commence more intensive meetings on an individual basis with the chairs of a number of arm's length bodies. It is the board of each ALB that is charged with ensuring that the ministerial departmental priorities and targets are delivered. And within each board, the balance of that responsibility lies with the chair and the non-executive directors. Their roles are critical. I will be expecting much more from them and believe that the public have a right to do so as well. The people of Northern Ireland deserve the very best from their health service, both operationally and in terms of governance, and I will endeavour to make the system as accountable to the public as possible. In closing, Mr. Chairman, the challenges of health and care continue. The party will not shirk away from them, but they will tackle them head on. For an organisation that was supposed to be financially broke, can I suggest we're delivering 24-hour cath lab access for heart attacks scheduled to be rolling in two locations, new ward buildings at Alton Galvin Hospital, which will be more desperately needed than ever after last night's fire, work commencing at the Ulster Hospital on £190 million of Phase B project, a new emergency department and 24 additional beds at Antrimurray Hospital, waits for anti-TNF arthritis drugs driven down from 9 months to 3 months, the satellite radiotherapy unit at Alton Galvin progressing, new primary and community care centres for Banbridge and Ballymena, an MRI scanner for the Children's Hospital coming finally after years and years of disappointment. Mr. Chairman, we have made so much progress, but a great amount of work lies ahead of us. Can I thank this party and conference for their support in doing that work?
Thank you very much, Edwin, and could we just commend Edwin to you. Looking after the health department is not the easiest portfolio. However, I think he has acquitted himself well, and we appreciate all he is doing, and he certainly is doing it much better and much more efficiently than the previous one who sat about and moaned and said, we can't do anything. Well, we always were a party of get-up-and-goers, and we certainly have one in the Department of Health. And Edwin, well done to you, and keep going. Our next speaker, ladies.